Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I'm your host, Shannon Holiday, and I'm joined at the decks again with Letitia Thomas. How are we doing this afternoon, Letitia?
Yeah, we're doing good. We're doing good. We've had a morning.
We've had a bit of a morning. Yeah. We've had a lot of coffee.
You've had a lot of coffee.
I've had probably the equivalent of 5 shots of coffee in the past like 4 hours.
One fake instant. That's just a placebo to get up in the morning.
We all have those.
And then just a one shot because I was riddled with anxiety this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Which is not
one of the
common.
Things where you can't go, this is the reason why. It just happens sometimes, as we discussed.
Yeah.
It can just pop up from anywhere.
Which, I mean, look, it didn't feel too different. So my heart rate's like
it's pretty
jacked
high.
Up all the time.
We compared. Yours is always higher than mine.
Yeah, listen.
Smart call on the coffee,
the
I
running
reckon.
Test.
It's been a while since we recorded last, Tish.
It has. Yeah. I was like, I don't even know where we were at last time to figure out where to come back from. You know, like a life update. Lots happened. Also, nothing's happened.
A lot's happened, actually.
You've been busy.
Yeah. I've been busy. You've been busy. We went to a concert.
We did.
We went to an Amy Shark concert because we're both Sharky fans.
You got me into her like a couple of years
She's
back.
She's great. She's so much fun.
I think the new album was out. I'd listened to a little bit at work.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't hate like the early stuff on the radio like a lot of people did. I was like, it's fine. And then, you're like, this is really good. And I was like, yeah, the album's all right. And you're like, we should go. And it was like 20 something.
I think it was 20 or 21.
It was in the middle of like COVID.
I think it was just
coming
after COVID,
and going.
Yeah.
So there was like nothing to do. And you said, you want to go? And I said, well, absolutely. Because nothing else is happening. Yeah. Why not? And it was a great show.
It was really fun.
So then, we went again and I had fun.
Yeah, I love it. It's always good fun. I got a shirt.
You did. I have too many t-shirts and not enough money right now.
I was like, I don't have enough white shirts. Because I don't. I have two.
Me either. I don't wear them.
And they had one tour shirt that was white and it says Amy Shark and like the A's in the fin of a shark. And I was like, that's genius marketing. I want that.
Genius.
And so I bought it.
I don't wear white because, well, I mean, I don't often, but somehow whenever I'm wearing white clothing, that is the time. That I will spill coffee. At uni, I started wearing white shirts. Don't ask me why. Just first year. I just remember wearing a fair few white shirts, or maybe it was the same white shirt on rotation. Yeah. But I was like constantly spilling coffee on it, but on none of my other shirts ever. And I was like this.
It's the worst thing, right? Because then you have to walk around all day with it. You can't change.
Yeah.
And people know you've spilled something.
And there
was like,
this girl that was hanging around my now, like probably best friend now, but she had a friend from school that was just kind of attached and annoying. And she'd always like take photos of me with the coffees and just be like, annoyed. I was like, can you not do that?
We've all got that one friend that has to document everything. You're like, look, just let it happen.
I was like, yeah.
We've made mistakes.
Okay, like I've got coffee in my jet. What's going on? Yeah.
Yeah, it's frustrating. What I will talk about is obviously we had a week off. The reason why that was is because of, more of my busy schedule, I guess, than yours. But we really couldn't match up a time frame that worked because you did have other things on.
Yeah.
Because I've been going to Biff a lot. I've been going to nearly every session that I possibly could.
Which sucks because I've been wanting to go for years. Like, I actually go and do it properly, but just life was not.
Life did not work out that way for you this year.
Nope.
Which sucks because I've seen some real gems this year that I didn't think, you know, like unexpected movies that came out of nowhere that I'd loved.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. I've seen 8 films out of the 10 I was potentially going to. I had other things come up. So I was I can't go to like this one or that one. So yeah, 8 out of the 10 that I booked in for, I've seen. So a huge week of movies. And then I saw the Venom last night as well. The Last Dance. So huge double week of movies. But we did see one at least Biff movie together.
We did. That was really fun. That was last Saturday before the gig.
Yeah, it was before Amy Shark. We went and saw Daddy-O.
I loved this movie.
Yeah. It was, that was one of the unexpected ones, I think, mm-hmm. for me. It was starring Dakota Johnson and Sean Penn.
Yes, I remember you were like, I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Daddy-O or
Daddy-O?
Daddy-O. No, it's definitely Daddy-O.
Yeah, from seeing the film, it's definitely Daddy-O.
Yeah.
based on the content of the movie.
Yeah, it was, I surprisingly, yeah. I mean, I hadn't seen much about it. I just knew who was in it. I knew it was like a in the car, not much else happening film. Yeah. And you said you want to see it. And I was like, if I have time, because
yeah.
I just, my whole schedule was just, a lot was going on. And yeah, so I didn't really have any idea of what it was going to be. And I went to see it and I had a really good time. Yeah. But I like those movies.
What for you made it a great experience?
I just think like those kind of movies are my kind of movies where like nothing else is really going on. It's just like a character study.
It was 100% a character study.
And they're like kind of my favorite films. I think because I get so, that keeps me probably more invested than anything else. Like we've talked about how I just,
If it's CGI fest,
if it's like a lot of like fighting action, like my brain just goes for a walk. It's really annoying. But that sort of like really emotional character stuff just keeps me so sucked in. And I think that's why I enjoy live action more than long form animation is because that human thing just keeps me so enthralled. Yeah. Like that's what I kind of love.
The human interaction
part. Yeah, I love exploring the human condition, which maybe I don't know what that says about me, but
there's something there.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it was a really good film. Obviously, it's a it's like a simple concept of like Dakota Johnson's character just getting picked up by a taxi cab driver and taken home from JFK Airport to somewhere in Manhattan, right? Yeah. And it's the conversations they have in the hour and a half trip from the airport home.
It's two strangers that have a real connection and give something to each other just by connecting. And I think that's sort of the whole like thematic thing of the film, especially because there's stuff at the beginning where she's texting someone, she's having a relationship with the person on the other side of the phone. But a lot of it's like, oh, the apps, like they're ruining everything. Yeah. But it is just that thing.
Thank you for staying off your phone.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's like just this human thing. Yeah. But the way that they do it in the film, just it really works. Like I had a couple tears at the end.
It was a touching ending. It was really, really nice.
And it wasn't necessarily about the content itself, because we joked, you're like, you got daddy issues, and I was like, yes I do, who doesn't, but it wasn't like even that, it was just what these people ended up, the connection they had at the end that got me, because I was like,
no, well, I agree with humanity's you
not overrated sometimes.
Yeah It was a really touching ending, I thought, and it ended on a beautiful note. And it's a last year release technically, like it was released in a couple of film festivals last year in 2023 in like August, September, I forget which ones. And then same thing happened this year. Like nothing picked it up, and it's gone to a couple of film festivals this year. Obviously, it was at BIFF, which is why we saw it. But there's no release.
I know.
Wide release schedule yet, even still.
To see it.
It's so good.
If not in cinemas, which probably not by this point, I'd love to see it just
streaming somewhere.
Find a home somewhere that so people can watch it.
Amazon or Netflix, just pick it up.
And something,
you know, just so someone, like it can get to a wider audience and people can see this film.
Yeah, because I haven't really even heard anyone talking about it.
No, I didn't really know much about it before I saw it was in the schedule.
Yeah, and for a film
and then I looked it up a little bit. I'm like, oh, it's last year. Where's this come from?
Like, I mean, we think it was super successful. Like for a film that to us felt that successful, it's a shame that
no one else can see the...
No one else is understand, like getting to experience it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's hard for me going to BIFF so much because there's been so many good films that I've seen this week. But I know that half of them won't get a wider audience for probably close to another year.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe not at all.
Maybe,
You know, like it might not get a wide release or picked up or anything like that. It's really... really unfortunate. There was one in particular I saw last night, and I'll just talk about it briefly. It's called Inside.
I've been wanting to watch this one.
It's a prison film starring Guy Pearce, and it's about a relationship between a younger inmate who gets transferred from juvie into like an adult prison because he's got 1 year left from what he did when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the relationship between Guy Pearce, who's he's about to come up for a parole. He wants to go visit his son that he hasn't seen for a while. And so it's a similar relationship where Guy Pearce is looking for a son role model in his life because he's looking for that. And also the kid's looking for a father figure. And given what his father did previously, which you kind of get through flashbacks, it makes sense. And it's just a beautiful film, but it's, you know, set in a prison. So it's pretty real. And the acting's amazing. There's a villain, quote unquote, in this, acted by Cosmo Jarvis, who is a singer, but he's also become an actor as well.
Okay.
I didn't realize he's the British guy out of Shogun, which people listening to this who have seen Shogun will know who that is because there's only one British guy in it, really. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they're the same actor. He plays this like kind of unhinged prison like person that the young guy has to kind of like live with in a cell. And I was like, oh my God, I couldn't even see him as the same guy out of Shogun. He played it incredibly well. So the acting in this is top notch.
Props to him. That's cool.
So huge. I really want to get this one released because it was really good. But there's a couple others as well. I won't go into detail, but yeah. Biggest one for me, my favorite for Biff was Anora. Definitely. Yeah. I gave that 5 stars. I was like, oh, amazing.
I still really want to see that one.
Yeah. Sean Baker, who's the director, who's done a bunch of other films as well, who just has an amazing art of creating really gritty movies, but like the characters feel real. Mm-hmm. Not like a documentary where it's like, oh, like it's escape of real life. They just feel like real characters, therefore like incredibly relatable. And the newest one that he's created is Anora. He's previously done like the Florida Project.
Yeah, I've just looked him up because I recognize the name.
He's done Red Rocket, he's done Scarlet, and there's another one as well.
I love the Florida Project. Yeah. I think that's the only one of his I've seen. I've been meaning to watch Tangerine for
Tangerine as well as the other
forever,
one.
Forever, because that was like at the time shot on iPhone and it was like a big deal. Yeah. But I love the Florida Project.
Yeah, he's got this way of shooting it in a way that just feels like it's a lived in world that you can kind of immerse yourself in.
Slice of life.
Yeah. Usually covering an aspect of like sex work, like mm-hmm. there's always like an element of one of the characters will be involved in that industry.
Yeah.
And it's just, I guess, just taking away the taboo or like, you know, stigma around that life.
Yeah.
They're real stories.
I never understand taboo. And maybe that's because I don't know, like, and even like the family I grew up in, we talk about it a lot because, you know, like my grandma and whatever, like that generation, like didn't talk about anything to the point where I got a story out of her the other day about like great great grandparent, and I'm like, hang on, but what happened to her daughter? Like that anyway, nothing. I'm like down the rabbit hole trying to figure
Still
it out.
Can't find out. Yeah.
And then like you know, my mom sort of, I think she unlearned it as I was unlearning it, growing up.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I think we come from a generation as well that's very much like
we're very open.
Cool, we're just going to talk about.
Yeah, I think it's better to talk about certain. And aspects of life,
even
because it's there. Like
I ended up doing that in university. I ended up directing a documentary, about like a whole bunch of like it was about free bleeding and periods and stuff because it was like a thing at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't pitch the documentary, but I ended up coming on to do it very last minute. But the entire like 6 months that we were working on this documentary, the guy running our course could not say the word period
really?
The whole time.
Was he an older gentleman?
He was like, I don't know, like in his 40s or something.
Yeah.
He's like, but just the whole time, I was so embarrassed to say it.
It just goes to show that we aren't there yet. And that's why these type of movies that I guess like Sean Baker's making is really important at the moment because it kind of gives a platform.
It gives a platform, but it also like destigmatizes and makes less scary.
Yeah,
right? Because like, you know, it's just a human thing to be afraid of what we don't understand. But
that's exactly it.
Just like stuff's not that... that scary. And it's like, especially like sex work, right? Like there's such a stigma, but it's like that has been going on since
it's the older profession.
Literally. And it's this thing that my teacher used to, and it sounds really creepy now that I say it like that, but he definitely wasn't meaning it that way. But we talk about history and what people were doing. And he's like, at the end of the day, like if you've got nothing else to sell, like if you're that, that's a commodity.
It 100% is.
Like, you know. Even with the invention of the internet, still a commodity.
It's an easier way to access it and therefore sell it as well.
Well, yeah, that's true. I forget that we're doing that now. But like, it's just, I don't know, it's like, it's not, I don't like the shame that comes with it. And
I agree.
Hear it from like our parents' generation.
Yeah,
even.
I think it was built into them.
Yeah.
That it was shameful.
But it's just like, I don't know, people can do, I mean, unless they're, you know, if they're not hurting anyone, people can do whatever they want to do, even if you don't want to do it.
And yeah, that's like, the difference. It's like, usually when people shame others, it's usually a self-reflection of their views.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's not you doing it.
Do whatever you want, man. Yeah. Like, it doesn't mean I want to do everything that other people are doing. But
no,
like,
it's fine.
If you want to do it, you're not hurting anyone.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Anyway. Back to Anora. Honestly, it's an amazing thrill ride. It's about a Well, it's about a Manhattan stripper played by Mikey Madison, who was phenomenal in this. If you haven't heard the name, she was in Scream 5, just the one that was called Scream from 2022.
And she was Tarantino's, one of Tarantino's.
Yes, she was one of the girls in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So she's done a couple of bit parts, but this was her first vessel, like as the main star, and she absolutely runs with it. This is her film entirely, but I will say that it's like a film in two parts. So the first part is like a really kind of like R-rated kind of Pretty Woman style movie.
You've not seen Pretty Woman.
No, but like I know what it's about.
Brave to make that comment.
Yeah. Thank you. I will watch that. But it is essentially that. And then it kind of turns into, in the second half, kind of like this movie where it's like one night of kind of like escapades.
Oh, okay.
Situation where they have to find someone. And it just chaos ensues. It's really good.
I really want to see it.
Very funny. Very like real. And then very sad at the same time. Because it's obviously, she's just trying to live out the quote unquote the American dream, right? Like, yeah. And she's trying to get her version of that because, you know, America's not an easy mm-hmm. place to kind of like grow and thrive in. So she's doing the best she can in her way that she can. So she obviously falls in love with, well, she meets and then eventually falls in love with the son of a Russian oligarch and obviously lots of money. So yeah. She, you know, eventually, if it starts off transactional, then it becomes yep. something. And that's her version of the American dream. She's living it out. But then something happens. And that's the second half of the right. movie. And it is hilarious. It is so funny.
That's cool. I didn't realize it had that tone.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
exciting.
Really like dry humor.
Yeah.
Really dry. Really good. Worth checking out. It's probably one of my favorite films of the year so far.
I haven't watched a whole bunch of stuff yeah. in terms of films. I watch a lot of TV. But I watched Anna Kendrick's Woman of the Hour.
Yeah, give me a rundown.
Last week,
yeah.
I believe. I really, really enjoyed this one. Like, it's her first directorial debut, mm-hmm. and for that, it's phenomenal. Like, it's not a film that you're like, oh, I wish something else had happened from it, or it was like done better. Like, it holds up. It's probably not like Academy Award winning, but
it was good.
But it's solid, yeah. solid film, and it tells the story of this young actress played. Well, it's a lot, but it's mostly told through the lens of this young actress played by Anna Kendrick, who's struggling to get gigs in Hollywood. And then she goes in like the 70s, I think it is, 60s, 70s. And she goes on a talk show, like a gaming show, dating show, where she's the contestant and there's three guys and she can't see them, but she asks them questions and then, you know, she picks one at the end. But it's told in like vignettes of different stories over time. And it's one of the guys that's on the panel is a serial killer. And it shows you as the movie's going, like different interactions he's had with women and then, you know, had sex and killed them or whatever. So it's told through multiple perspectives. But by the time you're at the talk show, you know who he is, but she doesn't know who he is. And she's just having fun at the end on this talk show. And then it sort of takes, you know, a turn because she's picked this guy. And like, I'm not going to get into the whole thing because it's a fantastic story and it's based on a real life guy. Like, yeah, it's happened to someone. But just the way that certain scenes play out, it's hard. It's like not hard to watch in that like it makes you feel like the worst, but it's hard to watch in that you go, well, we've all had that thing happen, but it's just the person on the other end of it for her, we know is like a serial killer rapist, yeah. which is like, oh, good. What you're always afraid of. But it's such a fascinating like watch. And then all the money, like props to Anna Kendrick, seriously, because all the money she made from it, she donated to two different charities.
Oh, really?
To do with domestic yeah, yeah. violence. And
oh, that's incredible.
Because she's like,
I didn't know that.
She, yeah, it's only just sort of, I guess, because the press is coming out about it, but like she wasn't originally set to direct it, but then they only had a short window to get the film made and they went, do you want to just do it? And she's went, like, yeah, all right, okay. Sure. Like she didn't have time to think about it.
Yeah.
So she ended up directing it. And then, you know, sort of now-ish once the movie's done and out and they sold it to Netflix, it's sort of, they go, oh, here's your paycheck.
And she's like, oh,
I didn't think about that part of it yeah. while I was making it. That's not why I wanted to do it. So yeah, instead she's, I mean, obviously she probably got paid to act in it, but fair enough.
Yeah, she would have probably taken the
portion.
Would have taken the acting part of it, but not the directing.
But anything she made from directing it, she's donated to a bunch of charities because she's like, that's not
why I did it.
And she, I think part of the reason I think she did so well in it, directing it and whatever, was like she'd famously got out of some long domestic violence relationship and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, she knows the story she's telling, but it's a very good watch.
Yeah, I've been meaning to. It's on my list to watch probably next week.
Mm.
I'll let you know what I think
when we come into the next. I want to see your perspective on it.
Yeah, given I'm
because I'm like watching scenes and I'm like
I'm a man.
I know that one. Yeah. I know that like that. Yeah, which is kind of sucks. And it also sucks because a lot of that stuff happens to you when you're younger.
Yeah.
Like I haven't been catcalled in years, and I still look like a child. But like
yeah.
Oh my god, the catcall is creepy.
It's insane. Like you can. There's a bunch of videos on. I think it's like YouTube and that. It's like. These girls will just record walking down like New York, like just a street and how much it actually still just happens. It's like, I just don't understand what you're expecting to happen, right? Like as a man and you yell out at like either a car window or something at a girl, what do you expect to happen?
Sometimes
what's the expectation?
Sometimes it's like whatever and you just want to be like, you know, F you. And other times you're like, oh God.
No, I meant from the man's perspective.
Oh, no, I know.
Like,
but I mean,
what do you expect to happen? Like to go, oh, you've just yelled something at me. I'm interested now. I'm going to come over.
I don't even know if it's about that. I think it's just some like little power thing that they get.
It's a power thing or it's like literally like a primal thing where it's like, I want that. I'm going to scream about it. I don't know. Like it's, I don't get it.
It's happened to me so much when I was like,
yeah.
Younger, which is so terrible. Like, that's the creepiest thing. Yeah. You think it's normal. You think it's going to happen to you forever, right? Well, to a degree, you're right? Because you're like, whatever. I guess this is just how it is. But yeah, in the last probably 3-4 years where I've started to look, I mean, I still look like a child, but you know what I mean?
Older.
I get it so much less. And yeah, I'm not dressing any different. I'm not, you know, but yeah, so that makes it even worse.
Interesting.
It makes me sick a little bit more because I'm like, oh.
Well, I just don't.
You're going to do it to children.
I just don't understand. The point of it.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. I don't know, but it's terrifying sometimes.
Yeah. Look, I think we could ask that question for like, a million years. I don't think we're getting an answer.
Keep going.
Yeah, I'm gonna
can I get to where I need to be?
I need a bigger pair of headphones.
It wasn't even that. Just like I need to get somewhere where there's other people.
Well, that too. Yeah, yeah. That's a big part of it. Yeah.
It's good fun.
Good fun.
Anyway, yeah. On that, to be a woman.
Yeah, on that note.
Yeah.
Any other films or anything? I mean, I've got one more.
I don't think I did. I watched TV though. I finished Agatha All Along.
Yes.
That was fun.
Without giving spoilers, how did you think it wrapped up?
What
you wanted? No?
Yes and no. And here's my thing. And it's part of the Marvel machine, which I think.
Oh, okay.
Because obviously I've seen bits where there's, so much was interesting and I don't really want to get into it without. Because I'll spoil it, but I do find what's interesting is there were parts that I think people wanted more of that they realized afterwards and they go, oh, we didn't realize people were going to want more of that. Mm-hmm. So they were like, sorry, we didn't do more of that. But there's bits because people are like, oh, we wanted to see all these moments, right, that we didn't get to see because – and I don't want to get into it specifically. But the moments that people on the internet have been like, I wanted to see this and I thought this would have happened over time and I wanted to – all of specifically – are bits that the showrunner's gone, oh, we talked about all of that in the writer's room. Mm. We thought about putting all that on the screen specifically. So it kind of shows just how interesting having the writers think of all that stuff, having the actors know that backstory, and how it still can be planted within the whole thing through subtext so specifically that I can be like, I wanted to see the moment where they did this here in time and they've gone, that was something we talked about. And yes, in our brains, that is what happened.
Right, okay.
None of it was on screen.
But it's implied, right?
But it's barely. But somehow just
yeah.
And that's fascinating.
There's how a spider web of it enough
seeps through enough that just, in the subtext of how the actors are playing and how like it comes through. So I've never seen it so specific where fans have gone, I want to see this.
I was like, oh no, we had it.
And they go,
oh, well, we would have.
Like, that's a story that we talked about but just couldn't put on screen. But I think the biggest problem for Marvel is that so much of their TV is built to set up someone else. So this was like, it's Agatha all along. Yeah. But so much of it goes, here's what we're doing with I mean, if you've been on the internet, you know who the characters are, but it's like, here's what we're doing with this character who's revealed to be this. And then that's their next show. And I just think that's a shame that they kind of, instead of, it used to be more teased in a tag at the end, right? You'd go.
Yeah, that was the end of credit scene.
Yeah,
right?
Which they didn't have in this.
That's what that's what the TV shows
they didn't want it. Yeah. But yeah, the TV shows have just become a setup for the next guy.
It's
which
funny.
I think is a shame. Instead of it just being like, here's a thread so we can go and develop this later, but we're going to make it about.
It's funny you mentioned that because when I went and saw Venom last night, they showed a trailer for Captain America Brave New World, which is the next Marvel film coming out in February.
Do they have a different guy as Captain?
Yes.
I can't keep up.
Anthony Mackie, who was Falcon, is now Captain America. Now that transition happened in the TV show The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So for anyone at all to get this movie needs to watch The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I said that to someone else the other day. I was like, that entire show was set up just so they could transition into a new Captain America movie without anyone going, hang on, where the hell is Steve Rogers? What happened in between? It's like, oh, no, you need to watch this show that goes for like eight eps, you know, an hour long episode each just to kind of explain. Yep. There's characters in that that you'll have no idea, like Anthony Mackie's offside and now is in it as he's like friend helper, but like that was set up in
the
TV show. There'll be characters that they introduce in that will affect the story in this. It's just, like you said, it's these shows are now becoming just a transition to set up the next movie and slot they've got. And I'm like, ugh.
I think that's a shame. That being said, watching like Agatha Along was so much fun because the rest of it that was about, you know, her character and the bits that are going on as well as what happened with Teen, who becomes someone if you care to follow it, but like that came from WandaVision being its own show, which it was at the time, and then there was one song and everyone, we love Agatha so much
that was
we want more of it, so they went, okay, how can we do that, and they made a show that was fun to watch
about that one character.
Obviously then it does end up leading into the Marvel machine, what's coming
well
next.
They probably had to contractually connect it somehow, right?
But for the most part they were like, what's a fun show we want to see, what's a fun show that the people want to see based on this one thing that they ended up loving that we never planned on. And so it kind of has authenticity.
I do like that about it. I like the fact that it's like, it's a kind of fan based build show rather than anything else.
Which is like, isn't that the point?
Yeah.
Right? Like I'm the Hollywood machine.
It's like the fans like this. Let's make that. Okay, cool. But we'll just tack on at the end, like how to connect it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still had fun with it.
I'm going to watch it now. It's all out. That's what I was waiting for.
See, I have fun for the week to week. I live for week to week because I like having something, but then the problem becomes, I'm like, oh, but I want more. So then
that's the issue. I
nerdy like, watch it twice because I go, I watch it for fun and then I watch it as a like
study.
Creative study. Yeah. So I've seen most of it twice.
Speaking of which, completely random aside, did you see the press photo releases for Yellowjacket season 3?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, I have. I'm online too much.
Yeah.
I went and had a look through
the interview. The original post on Instagram has the younger version of the character and then the older version of the character together and then you swipe through the photos and then you get to
Sophie Turner, I know.
Sophie Turner's by herself and I was like, oh my God, that is tragic.
It's so sad.
I was like, oh.
And I think it's sad for her.
I'm going to miss that character in season 3.
Yeah.
The older version's fantastic as well.
That.
Juliette Lewis amazing.
I think there was a bit of contention.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know who knows the full story, right?
Yeah, we're not there.
But I do, like, sort of read stuff where Juliette Lewis was like, I don't like where they're taking my character. And then just, there must have been something.
Yeah.
Also, it fit. Yeah. It
okay. Was, it's tough.
I think there was two things going on for the choices to be made. It could be two things. But I mean, who's ever going to really?
And they needed to do something with the older characters, right? Like, to make what they're doing threat level.
Yeah, I think
so. I guess something had to happen.
I think there's a lot coming up in season 3 in terms of like answers. I think it's going.
I read that they're looking at finally getting.
Yeah,
somewhere,
and going back to season 1 in a way, because I think everyone on that show, at least in this interview I read, got so swept up in how well it did in season 1 that they were sort of too focused on that to a degree, as you naturally would be when suddenly like you're up for Emmys and you're like, I'm sorry, no one was going to watch this show. Now there's fans that are. There was a lot going on, so I think they're going back to like
their roots.
Yeah, and just going, okay, what is it we want to make? And I'm
good.
So excited. I can't wait to do a rewatch.
Yeah, well, I just kind of did because my housemate Ben watched it. He watched it season one and two again. And I was in the room for most of it. So I've kind of rewatched most of it recently. It's very incredible. It's an incredibly well-made show.
And I haven't watched all the like the little extras and I'm...
For season two.
Yeah. And even one. I'm so excited to go down a rabbit hole, which I'll wait till we finish the podcast because...
Yeah, well, I think it's coming back around March, April next year.
Well, they said early next year, and I'm hoping that means
I don't think it'll be early. I think it'll be March, April.
Give it to us, you cowards.
Yeah.
I was talking about it.
Not that long. It's been over a year since last season. Last night,
actually, we were eating dinner, and my sister had mentioned something about she'd seen something with Ella Purnell, which she didn't even know.
It wasn't Fallout. There's a new show she's got out.
She saw some
Sweet Pea or something?
Sweet Pea, but she'd seen some, I don't know. She brought it up, and then... I was like, oh yeah, I'm excited. Yellowjackets is coming out. I'm excited to see more of it. And I very much said, I want to see who makes it out alive. But I didn't say anything else. We're eating chili con carne. Nom, nom, nom. And then Ella's like, oh yeah, my sister Ella saw a thing. She goes, oh, I saw this thing from someone from it or something. She's never seen the show. She's like, and then they were asking like, have you watched season two? And she said, no, I haven't because I don't think you should see yourself be eaten. And I just went, well, you don't, she doesn't actually look like her, but anyway. And my sister's like, yeah, like she suddenly realized that she was talking about cannibalism while we're eating like chili. And I'm like, I was trying, and the family's over, like grandma's over, it's a family affair. And I'm like, well, I was trying not to get into specifics, but you did
you
bring
took it
there.
Up.
like I've seen the show.
I'm fine.
I can eat dinner and watch it.
Disassociate.
Eat Jackie. Yeah, I've talked about it at work. People are like, could you do cannibalism? I'm like, I don't think so, but maybe.
I think in a survival
And they're like,
moment,
what do
you
mean? You
probably would say yes.
And I'm like, listen, we don't know what's going to happen. And everyone's like, you're insane. Which
they say that until they're in that situation.
Yeah,
No one knows. Maybe. No one knows. It's not ideal.
Not
it's
willingly.
Not, it's not like, oh, we've crash landed. Oh, look, first thing is give me your leg.
Yeah, it's not I my think first it's like, choice.
It's usually a desperate.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, y'all need to see Society of the Snow.
I do want to watch it.
Wow. That is incredible. Obviously, it's based on the whole horrific incident that happened in the Andes where the soccer team crash landed. And they were there for like 60 days or something, which is like a while.
That's a long time.
Long time. And obviously Yellow Jackets has taken some liberties from that story. And there was an original movie made in the 90s called Alive. It was very whitewashed. There was a lot of people in it from Hollywood. It was a Hollywood-based movie, basically. But what they've done is they've made a new movie based on the accident. And it's all... correctly Argentinian acted, it's subtitled, and it is incredible. It was up for Best International at the Oscars the year it came out. Didn't win, unfortunately, but it was up for it. The crash scene is so real. Ooh. Oh my God. I was like, ooh. Some of the,
You've got some trips coming up, Shannon. How are
I
you
do,
on planes?
Don't I? Yes. Exciting. Get on that plane. But yeah, incredibly, incredible movie. So if you all got time, Society of the Snow, it's on Netflix. Mm-hmm.
I do want to watch it. I just kind of.
It's one of those things.
I don't know. Haven't
get
yet.
Get time. It's fine. If anyone on listening gets time, you'll appreciate it. It's a good movie.
But yeah. And then I've been watching Territory, the Australian show that's just dropped on Netflix last week. I'm really enjoying it. I've got one more episode to go. I thought about watching it last night and then I thought.
I'll hold off.
Just go to bed.
Yep.
Just go to bed.
Just go to bed.
You need to sleep early. Go to bed. But I'm really enjoying it. It's not like, I mean, I'm not like enthralled. Like, I watch shows I either like they're good. I hate them. And don't care, or I'm like, oh my God, this is my life now, which is
I'm gonna watch this seven times.
So exhausting. I'm not like obsessed in that sense, but it's very good. I'm hoping they do another season because it's only six eps, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, miniseries type. It's coming up on Netflix as like the top TV show.
Well, everyone which is talking
incredible.
Well, I've heard people complaining. They're like, it's just Yellowstone in Australia. I'm like, they're mustering cattle. They're in cattle state. Of course, it's gonna be like Yellowstone.
It can be similar, you can also enjoy it.
Of course it's going to be like it. The whole premise is set on a cattle station. Yeah. That's not dissimilar anywhere in the world. but I think it's hitting Australia really big. One, because Yellowstone's huge, but two, because like people want more like old school McLeod's Daughters, which it feels similar because they're on a cattle station. This is bigger scale.
A bit of production value than McLeod's Daughters. But
insane production value. I think this show would have had fun.
It's got Anna Torv in it.
She's like leading it, which is pretty
which
cool.
Is huge.
I think it would do even better if they had more episodes because it's this kind of, it's really fun. It's like a sort of adventure, drama, little bit of melodrama, which is kind of soapy. We don't get that anymore, right?
We don't.
It's not quite that far because it's still high production, so it can't.
Yeah.
But like the things, you know, every so often there'll be like an event that happens to a character that you're like, mm-hmm. oh man, if this was a soap, we'd have milked this for a whole episode. Would
at least,
right? Amazing. But there are those elements which I think have been missing from TV for a while, where it's just like, hey, this is silly fun. Like, it's serious and whatever, but like TV can kind of be kind of melodramatic, but at the same time it's still like good drama in it, and it's like there's a lot of stories.
It's entertaining. It's got that
really good. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, nice.
A little less whitewashed than some of it because they're on the top end, so they do get into like the indigenous stuff as well.
Cast?
Like, there's a, because there's different stations up there, and they're all rivals, obviously.
Yep.
Makes sense. So you've got like, you know, two old family, like another, you know, someone's got a stake here and like the mine. And then you've got like the indigenous story, which is following like one guy who's, I don't know if he owns a ranch. He owns something, but he's very much in at the ranch. But then there's conflict with him doing like a white man's job when he's also got community and like, it's very well done. And they've got like a lot going on.
Sweet.
They've got Tully Narkle in it, who was in NCIS. And
oh, really?
She's doing incredible. Cool. She was in the Goldstone series. What's the one they did? Anyway, but yeah, and then All My Friends Are Racist, which I know it from.
Yeah, because you were involved.
Which is, it's crazy to see her trajectory in the last couple of years. Because that was like her first screen thing. And she's like, oh, I don't know about being on the screen.
Like,
and
well,
I was like, oh, you're
fine.
Doing pretty good.
You're okay.
And then.
Okay, sweetie.
Well, not quite. But I was like, kidding. No, you're doing good. We just, you know. And then now she's just in everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, good for you.
Yeah, that's cool. I think what we should do is get into the main topic of today, because we've had a big old chat about what we had a lot to get through with what we've seen. It's been 2 weeks.
We're
all going to have a fair bit to kind of chat about. But we've been holding off on this episode for a little bit. I think we picked a good time to get into it. We've been busy, so thank God we've all seen Harry Potter before.
Too many times.
So we're going to chat about the Harry Potter movie series. Probably talk about our experiences with them, our favorite characters and stuff like that. And I guess maybe book differences,
maybe.
Stuff like that.
We've planned none of it.
We'll see how we go. We've seen the film, so we thought, let's do this.
My whole childhood was leading up to this. Yeah. Actually, before we get into it, I will post my my Halloween costumes onto Instagram. I did a little Parks and Rec deep cut.
Oh, you did? You absolutely did. And it was
incredible. If you guys
want to
see them.
The comparison is uncanny.
It's terrifying, right? I was on the way home and I was talking to my friend and I said, oh, I'm just going to do it. I didn't even tell her. I was just like, you know what? It's going to be tonight. My hair's shorter because I shaved it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And then I got home, had a shower, just winged it and then was like,
it works.
Oh,
it works.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I look like a straight white man. Man,
get a girl that can do both. And I did this Halloween.
You nailed it.
Wow.
It looks accurate, especially the shot angles that you've got to compare it to.
I made my sister. I was like, I need you to
match
and I was like,
this up.
You match this.
Yeah. It looks spot on. It was very well done and I appreciated the effort you went to for it. It's very funny.
Thank you, me too. But yeah, I'll post that for you guys.
Good fun. Yep. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Tell me, what was the first experience you had with it?
Okay. So you guys all know this was my entire childhood, but that, you know, there was a time before. The first time I watched Harry Potter, I was either 3 or 5. I was in Cairns at my cousin's house and I'd only been twice, which is, anyway, they don't live there anymore. And it was on the TV and we watched up until McGonagall turns into a cat and I was very into it. And then my mum said from the other room, get that off. They're too little. It's going to scare them. I don't want to deal with that.
You're
and I remember
like,
being
it's
like,
cats.
I'm very into this. And then that was it for years.
Mm.
But that was my first introduction to Harry Potter, was wanting to watch it. And my mum being like, no, it's going to scare them. Which honestly, at that age, it definitely would have. And I can understand why she
How old were you?
I was either 3 or 5.
You are pretty young.
And I was a little scaredy child. Like she had to deal with us being like, I'm having nightmares.
The scene where he's got this head in the back of his.
That's what I'm thinking.
That
I'm thinking.
Would have probably, like, everything else is probably okay.
Well,
maybe the dog.
The dog, they go into the Forbidden Forest.
Yeah.
Like that is still pretty young.
Yeah, 3 to 5.
I mean, I was still watching, at, you know, I don't know what age, but I was watching Shrek getting scared.
the dragon.
Yeah. When it gets really tense, when she's chasing them at the end, and me and my sister would wimp out. One of us would.
Kind of adorable.
And that and The Wicked Witch of the West. Again, very young, but.
When did you end up watching it in its entirety?
Harry Potter?
Yeah.
When I was 7 or 8, after I'd come back from seeing the set and stuff.
Yeah, when you went over and then came back?
Yeah. Because I was like, Mom, please. And she went, oh, well, you've seen the set, which I'll get into a bit later, guys. But you've seen the set. You know it's not real. I'll let you watch it. And we borrowed them from someone.
Yeah. Did you have them on VHS?
Someone had the DVDs.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Because that was about the time it transitioned, right?
Yeah.
Like from VHS to DVD. I remember asking for one Christmas. The first two movies were out. Like, so you had Philosopher's Stone and
Chamber of Secrets.
Or Sorcerer's Stone if you're in US.
Yes.
They're out, and I think we only just had a DVD player. Like, it was pretty early, 2001, 2002. That's when the old transition happened. And I was like, I wouldn't mind these. And I'm pretty sure my nana got them, but she was like not aware of like the whole change of DVDs. So I had the first two movies on VHS. I was like, thank you. I watched them heaps. Like we still had a VHS player. I watched them so many times. But I saw literally all the films in cinemas, which was incredible.
I'm so jealous. I didn't see many of them in cinemas. So I had seen the first three. I didn't get to see the fourth one in cinemas because I think I hadn't caught up on them by the time that had come out. But I'd seen stuff from the sets because I went to the studio. My second cousin worked on them. And I'll get into all those stories like when we kind of get to the film because there's no point getting into it too early. But yeah. And so saw the first three at home, four at home. And then by the time the fifth one was coming out, I was old enough to go to the cinemas like and see them. So from 5, 6, 7, and 8, I went to the cinemas. And I think I probably often went twice because my mum and grandma, I meant to mum go
or was it just grandma? Or?
Maybe it was just grandma because she'd read the books and had seen them and mum was out of touch. She's like, you kids are just annoying about it all the time. Mm. And we were because it was out my whole personality.
Yeah.
And then, I would see them and then I'd see them again with my dad take me to see them. So I usually saw them twice in cinema, except for the last one, which I wanted to see three times in cinema because I saw it with my friends. We dressed up. We made my aunt make us cloaks. I was like, I think I was grade 8, maybe grade 9. And then grandma took us to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad said, do you want to go see it?
I was like, yes,
we could see it in 3D this time. And my bitch of a sister in the back seat said, no, we've already seen it twice. And I turned around and was like, this is our whole personality. This is all we care about, Ella. We can see it again. Dad's paying. Like, what else are we doing? Dad's useless. We're not doing anything else.
Yeah.
She said no. So I didn't get to see it that final time.
Oh, I think I saw it in 3D.
Again, I'd seen it twice. Probably had seen it in 3D, but I just remember being like, we've got an opportunity to see this again. Daddy's asking.
The last one is a banger too.
And she said no. So that.
Awful. Awful.
What a bitch.
I remember, obviously I grew up at the same age as the kids, right? Because literally I'm the same age as, I think, Hermione, so Emma.
Emma.
Whereas Daniel's older.
Rupert might be older. I think Rupert's was the youngest.
I might be the middle one. Whatever.
Whatever.
The same age as all three of them, basically. And I remember I was like, I'm pretty much them. And I don't know, my mum didn't like Harry Potter. She's very against anything that's not real. And I don't have an understanding as to why. Still not yet. I've grown up.
If you're listening, Mum, tell us.
She was so against Transformers. Insane. Because I remember when the first one came out, I wanted that on DVD for Christmas or birthday or whatever. And I was like, that's what I want for Christmas. Basically, one of the only things I think I wanted that year was like, I like that film a lot. The first one.
Yeah.
They got awful towards the end. And she was like, nope. Not getting it. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I think I got money off like grandma or one of the aunties or something. And I went and just bought it myself. And I was like, I want this. This is the thing I want. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why you're like against this. It's very weird. Thanks for pushing your own agenda onto me. Weird. It's the same thing with Harry Potter, I feel, to a degree too. But I just bought the book. So I went and saw the movies and stuff. So
yeah, I didn't have any reference for them except for that 5 minutes that I got to watch at my cousin's house when I was very little. And then I went to – my grandma took me, my sister, and my mum over to England when I was seven to meet my great-grandma because she was too old to come over here.
Yeah.
And grandma's like, I want you to meet them. She got inheritance money from some uncle or some, who knows.
To go, yeah.
Anyway, so we all went and my second cousin did special effects on a bunch of movies, including Harry Potter. And he was like, I'm taking you guys to the studio. So me, my sister, and my mum My grandma's very salty that she didn't get to go, but took us to the studio.
Still an experience there.
Because Marcus is like, if you come, I can give you a tour down for work today. Yeah. Like, I don't know. However they have it sorted out, he got to just kind of like
bring him in. Yeah.
Bum and not go to work. So he was like, yeah, I'm taking you on a tour. And we were like, okay, like, what's Harry Potter? Like, we had no reference.
No.
And I remember we saw parts of the maze that were just built on the lot.
The fourth one?
Yeah. So it was the Goblet of Fire they were shooting at the time. So we got to see like parts of the maze. He took us to have a look, which you couldn't really see anything, but he took us to look through the window of the tank where they shoot all the underwater stuff.
Oh, yeah, cool.
I remember we got to stand, you know, when they do the Triwizard Tournament, they do the fourth trial in the maze and there's the little grassy bit in the circle where Dumbledore stands on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to stand in that bit. And my mum got to go and stand on the podium, but we weren't allowed to because she probably shouldn't have. Like, it was one of those, like, quick. But if you stood in a particular spot on there, we got to kind of play around with it. The way that they built the set, if you stood in a particular spot, your voice projected. Like, it was just, like, the acoustic. So, like, that was
the dome kind of feel.
Fun. I don't really know how they did it. Again, I was, like, seven. And then at one point, and I do remember this, we were just walking around part of the studio and a golf buggy went past.
Yep.
And we got waved at. And me and my sister like,
you just wave back.
Hi. Kind of, but not really. And my cousin's like, wave at him. That is Harry Potter. I work here. I barely see him.
Yeah.
Wave at the man. And we're like, oh, like I was a teenager or whatever. So we like awkwardly like just snobbed Dan Radcliffe. Like we don't know what's going on. And then, yes, like that was that. We're like, whatever. And then I remember when we were leaving the Leavesden Studios, we got to see someone training an owl.
That's really
which
cool.
Which was fun. And I think that's kind of all. Oh, and I remember we got to go see Privet Drive where they had it
I've seen that photo. You've shown me that photo before. You're
and
out the front.
My little mind was blown for so many years. I think that blew my mind more than anything because from the outside, and if you look in the letterbox, it looks like you're in the house, right? You look in, it looks like the house, but then you go around the back and it's just the shell, the outer shell, because obviously they built the actual house on a set inside.
Yeah, it's not an actual.
But being just seven and just, it looks like a house, you look in the window, it's a house, but then it's not a house, just, I didn't understand how any of it was made and it just kind of
blew your mind a little bit.
Blew my mind and fascinated
me. Movie magic.
And then we got back home and I was like, Mom,
I need to see
we need to watch these. So yeah, she let us watch them. And then every year after that, like we'd get pocket money or no, birthday and Christmas money from my dad because he was slack with buying his presents. He'd be here's
you pick what you
20
want.
Bucks or like whatever.
Sometimes
I
like that better, to be honest. I'm like, get to pick more.
And Eleanor and I, my sister, would be like, if we split the movie, we get to keep some money. So we'd both go in. Yeah. So that's how we ended up getting them. We started with the third one because we knew at that time that was the best film.
It still is.
So we watched that on repeat. But yeah, and then we were so obsessed with it and this movie and the fact that our cousin had worked on it, we felt like we were close to it, that we would go and watch special features. And like, I think I'd seen the special features for most of them more than the film itself. And that's what got me into filmmaking.
That's incredible. So that's how you've gotten onto this journey.
And I would just sit and then from Harry Potter ones, I'd go watch any other movie and I'd watch.
Yeah, watch the special features.
The behind the scenes. And then I realized that like, I mean, I always knew it was a job, but I knew that like, oh, I could study it in school and I had access to get into it. And I was like, well, there's nothing else I want to do. This is kind of fun.
It's such a disappointment.
Sorry.
No, that's great.
I talked for so long.
You're great. There's nothing worse now than you getting a movie and there's no special features on the disc. I used to love watching them.
Oh my God.
Or like how it was made, interviews with the cast, anything.
I cannot tell you how angry it makes me.
Right? It's like it's an appreciation of it.
That's
put
why
it
I
in
pay
there.
For it. I
That's why
this.
I pay for it. I could literally watch this illegally anywhere.
And I love
give me a reason to buy
everyone
it.
Everyone that got to work on it. So give me give me some of your experience, please, because I want to appreciate your work.
They always shoot a making of like any film. They always do. So just give me some.
Love going through, especially like the Harry Potter ones, because there's so much on them. And there'd be like cast interviews, which me and my sister just we got through them.
Watch
and
watch again. Yeah,
like directors talking about it, or like. Yeah. The art department talking about it. And that's how I fell in love with filmmaking because I was like, oh, my cousin's done something. But I didn't understand what work he actually did because I didn't see him doing the work, but he would just explain stuff, like whatever.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, oh, hang on. So this is what he's done. And then I just was like, all these people have worked on this thing and it's just so incredible. And I mean, obviously Harry Potter, like the work that went into that was just...
Oh, it was top because it was...
Next to none. It's but
one of those things that just made I money. Just fell it was in Harry love Potter. With
the magic yeah. of filmmaking. Yeah. But yeah, that was it for me.
It was incredible. Well, for me, obviously, it's, yeah, seeing him every year at the movies was a big thing. I remember, yeah, being like, I think 11 when the first one came out because it was like 2001. And yeah, it was just an experience to go along the ride at the same age as these kids. You kind of grew up being like, you know, feeling like they're part of, mm-hmm. you know, your friend crew in that.
It got me into movies. It got me into reading because I hated reading before then. I was just like, yeah. Someone else tell me a story. And they're like, no, you need to read. And I was like, yeah, but I like it when you guys read to me. I don't have to
do anything.
Learn to read. But yeah, it got me into that. Yeah. And then I used it as an escapism from like yeah. growing up so much. Like I had not a lot going on sometimes or just like too much going on. And I was like, I'm just going to pretend I'm in Harry Potter. And I was disappointed yeah. when I didn't get my letter at 11, knowing it was BS because I'd seen
the actual letters.
Yeah. I mean, there's another story for another day that I can't talk about on air, but like I'd seen them. I knew they existed, yeah. but just the fact that like, I was still like, yeah, but like this is, I think it was like the Santa thing where you know it's not real, but you want it to be so real that you just go with it.
Yeah, you're just like, this is going to happen to me.
I had friends in grade 5, some semesters. Mm-hmm. They pick and chose when they were going to be friends with me and my sister, which was just delightful.
That sounds like kids.
Twin girls are beautiful.
That sounds like kids.
Anyway, but there were some semesters that we'd hang out and we'd just like still play like imagination games. And we were all so obsessed with Harry Potter at the time that like we would pull out like the inside of a pen. So you just had the ink bit and we would be writing in class with that. And like, you know, we'd turn our rubbers into like bloody little ink pots. And our teacher would like, just copy off the board, please.
Please, love of God.
And then we had these texters that we used as like wands at lunchtime. But you could only use the brown or the black one because, yeah. It doesn't work. And I remember my friend Zoe, she was using texter as a wand and one of the boys got it once and threw it over the fence and they didn't talk to each other for years. In high school, they were best mates. And I remember one class, like she brought up, she's like, remember we used to play Harry Potter and you threw my texter over the fence and I hated you for like 5 years. And like they were best friends by grade 12, but there were like years where it was just like, that was it, man. You ruined it for us. But yeah, no, just loved it so much. Kind of my whole personality until I turned 18. And I was like,
you're like, actually,
I need something else. And I suddenly had access to like, I had a computer. So I had access to like the movie. Like I just, more. The world kind of opened up and I was like, I can't.
You still appreciate it though.
I realized I didn't want to be that person forever. Yeah, because it wasn't cool when I grew up. Like now it's cool to like it. It wasn't cool to like it. When I grew up and I was like, I don't care. And I tolerated it. And I, you know, taught the class when we did Philosopher's Stone, the book. My teacher's just like, can I use your notes? I was like, yeah, miss.
Yeah, that's fine.
I got them. She's like, cool.
Yeah. I think nerd. Obviously I went through it earlier than you. Like I said, I grew up with them. So everyone my age was the same age. So we obviously went and saw it the day of release and most kids, you know, loved it. And same thing, like, I read the book of the last one, the entire book, the week and it came out.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Like I think it came out on the Friday or the Saturday morning in Australia. I had finished the book. I think it was just over midnight of the Sunday.
That's amazing.
Because I didn't want anyone to go.
Spoil it. Yeah.
Going to school on the Monday because I know there's always that one bratty kid who will be like, well, this happens, even though they just, you know, looked up the last couple of pages. So I was like, no, I appreciate like reading this. I want to find out on my own. So I read the entire last book in 2 days.
That's amazing. It took me a while.
It was rough, but I did it.
To get through them all because I wasn't a reader until I read them. And my sister was a weird kid. And I think our stepsister was reading The Half-Blood Prince. So Ella decided, I'm going to read The Half-Blood Prince. Yeah. And she read that book on repeat. Like I hadn't read, finished all the others.
Interesting.
She'd seen the movie, so it was fine. But she like just read that on repeat. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, getting through
you
all of them.
You can read the next one.
We bought my grandma the last book for her 70th birthday.
Yeah.
So I remember being like, here you go. And then eventually she finished it. I was like, yes.
Good. Yeah.
I'm up to it finally. Like,
There's not a chance in hell that my parents will read the Harry Potter books.
My grandma got into them because.
Hell freeze over first.
I think my cousin must have had them, my older cousin.
Yeah.
And then she got into them before I was into them.
They're great reads.
She started reading. I think I said, grandma, can you read the book to me? Because she used to read to us at night, like when we stayed over. Mm. she started reading it and I was like, can I take this home? And she was like,
yeah,
you want to read like decent books? Go for it. So that's kind of got me into it.
There's a lot more in them than the movies show.
Yes.
But I think the movies do an incredible job of showcasing everything it needs to from the Harry Potter world on screen.
We're talking about the screenwriter that did all but one of these.
Yeah.
Steve Kloves. And I give that man so much props for how he managed to encapsulate all that was necessary, but he knew what bits that just couldn't make it in a 2.5 hour film. And he...
Yeah, if you need to cut, he did the perfect way of
cutting. Like, and yeah, as a kid, I was like, no, I wanted to see this bit. Of course I did, yeah, right? But like as a filmmaker now, I'm like, damn. The job to go through those books, to also look at J.K. Rowling, who had a big part in the making of these films.
Yeah.
But still go, no, we're not going to do that. Yeah. Now that I've seen the stuff that the screenplay she's written, I'm like...
Oh, yeah, the Wizarding World movies, the three of them, trash.
Trash.
Absolute trash.
I've only seen 2 out of 3. I gave up a lot.
The Secrets of Dumbledore. Yeah.
He's gay.
We know it. He's gay.
He's gay.
It's not a secret.
I remember when that rocked my world. I was like, how disappointing.
Also, what? Damn, I can't get with
13,
a dead
like,
wizard from the 90s.
Why would she say that? Like, ugh. I'm like, anyway, that just tells you how deep parenting goes.
Yeah, it's interesting.
In society. I'm like, why was I even?
It's funny that you mentioned, like, yeah, it's funny. I was like, because I watched recently 6, 7, 8, like the last three movies, probably like 3 weeks ago. It's funny the little bits that was obviously put in those last couple of films when they knew that the character was that way, because it wasn't in the books. It's not explicit. Obviously, J.K. came out and said it afterwards, and obviously it's been put into the movies a little bit. Yeah, it's just like some of the stuff that why did I say Gandalf? Jesus Christ.
Gamden.
Yeah.
Gamden.
I was like, wrong wizard.
It looked the same.
Dumbledore says to Harry, when like Harry's like flirting with the girl when he's sitting in one of the cafes, and he's just like, oh, she was really pretty, you know? And then it's just really awkward with Daniel Radcliffe. And then later on, Dumbledore asks Daniel Radcliffe's Harry about Hermione, and it's like, oh, are you guys a thing? Oh,
that's right.
And then he's like, no, we're just like friends. Like we're close, but friends. And then he's like, oh, don't mind me. Merely curious. And
that's
I'm like,
right. Curiosity of an old man or something like that. I had totally forgotten about that.
Really weirdly put in little.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the subtext was so there with him and Grindelwald. Like, duh. Even reading the books, well, you're like, yeah, you can see it in that it's believable enough. Yeah. I'd forgotten about all that. I don't think I've seen it's all of them since I did a
rewatch
marathon.
Ages ago?
No, I did a marathon.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Okay. So I love these films. Would watch them all the time. All the time. Almost all I watched.
One individually at
almost
a time.
All I watched was Harry Potter. You put it on repeat. The same movie. Who cares? Anyway, when I was about 16, 17, I said, Mom, we're going to do a Harry Potter marathon. She said, oh, if you two want to, it's but like don't think you're not getting out of things. You're still going to be, you know, you got to have dinner. You got to wash up. You got to, fold some washing. Okay? Like you got to
be regular humans.
You're not getting out of things because Mum was very, very like ran a tight ship. Anyway, I grossly miscalculated. We now know I'm bad at math, but I didn't realize at the runtime because I was a kid and there was no internet. Really, there was internet, but like,
how did you add up the times then?
You can read it on the back by hand.
The amount of minutes.
Didn't realize that the runtime didn't include special features. Rookie mistake. Never really thought about it before then. I never really thought about a runtime. I just, you put the movie on, you'd watch it, it'd finish. So I took some time out. I grossly miscalculated. Did not realize how long it was going to take us. My sister did check. That's on her. Anyway, so we started whenever we started. We stopped for a few times. We were up until 7 a.m. next morning. I remember, and it's a slog. We were like, oh, thank God, it's the last two. It's 5 hours.
It is because they're both about 2.5 hours long.
Yeah. I was sitting on the floor by the end of it in a cloak.
Crying.
Nah, not even. I was like hunched over some soft toy thing because I could like be like propped up.
Yeah.
And I was so tired that, because I don't think I'd pulled an order really much before then, that I couldn't cry. The tears weren't coming, but I'm like, and my sister's like, shut up.
You're always going to remember that for the last film now rather than the actual film.
As the sun is coming up in the film.
You're
the
like,
sun
do I sleep now?
The sun is coming up. And I was like, oh my God. So finished at 7, we thought hopefully mum stays in bed till 7:30. Hopefully she stays in bed.
Because she would have lost it if you were still up.
I don't know. We just weren't sure. Anyway, so I was like, okay, cool. Hopefully finished. I went to clean my teeth, which was the bathroom's next to my mum's room. And she walks out and I'm brushing my teeth. And I said, good night, mum. She went, what do you mean good night? And we're like, we've just finished. Our eyes like hanging out of our head. We're like, we're going to go to bed now. And she goes, no, you're not.
Not a chance. You're staying up.
You're going out with me later.
Yeah.
She like drove us down to like Cleveland, which is like a slog of a drive.
It's about an hour and a half.
Just to visit her friend. There was no reason we needed to not be at home.
It's punishment.
I couldn't sleep. So I'm just there like with my eyes hanging out of my head. And yeah, she's like, punishment. And I haven't watched those films since because it was emotionally.
How old were you?
About 16. It's been about 10 years.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've successfully got through.
I did my time.
The whole lot of them.
12 years of it. Oh my God.
I think it ruined it for me. So yeah.
Yeah, you could watch these films individually and probably not have that experience. Because if that's your reflection of the last couple.
It rough. Was long.
Watching this, as I said to my housemate Ben, I was like, it's hard because one, I think the last book is the weakest. It doesn't reflect the same narrative structure as the other six books because obviously it takes place at Hogwarts. It's pretty structured. He's at the Dursleys, takes the train, goes to school. The last thing, there's an event where he has to solo it or do some, you know, pretty cool stuff, and then it's resolution. This last book completely throws away the narrative structure because he's not at school.
He
skips school. He doesn't do his seventh year. He's looking for Horcruxes because he's just found out that that's the way to defeat Voldemort. And most of the book is just random events, but the biggest chunk in the middle there, which is like 400 pages of the actual book, is just him and Hermione and Ron for a bit.
Depressed in the woods.
It's just depressed in the woods because they don't know anything about the Horcruxes or anything.
No, they're still like trying to figure them out.
Yeah, so they're just looking for Horcruxes and then they're just stuck in the middle of the woods and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I think the last couple are at Hogwarts. And they go back and then it's the big battle, which I kind of appreciate. But like obviously they split up the movies into two and really draw it out. But probably unnecessary to do two. Like they really could have tightened the ship into one. They did it with the Order of the Phoenix, which is the biggest book.
It's huge.
They managed to do it there. They really probably could have done it here as well, but it was of an era, we've spoken about it before, where last films were broken into two because they wanted to expand the
profit,
the franchise.
These ones were the first to do it.
Yeah.
No one had done it before. Not really, because then,
Hunger Games and that came afterwards. Hunger Games,
Twilight.
All came afterwards.
All came after.
Yeah. So I get it. I get it, but also it's hard when you have to sit through part one, which is mostly them in the woods.
Yeah.
It's really rough.
I'm going to probably rewatch these soon. I should have done it the last 2 weeks, but again, it's been a weird.
It's fine.
Weird couple weeks.
Yeah, again, if you get to watch them for your own
enjoyment,
pleasure, you'll appreciate them so much more.
Yeah. And I think, like, I love them. I like the first one's just fun. They're cute. It's adorable.
Oh, yeah. It changes.
Well, they changed studio and actors. And then the second one, I still like the second one, although
second one. Yeah, the first, I don't know if they're both Christopher Columbus.
So. Least favorite, the second one? I don't know. I don't think, it doesn't excite me that much. But then maybe it is just Ron and Harry being like, the spiders, what's going on?
The biggest part is the spiders.
Oh, no. Hermione's not in it for most of it because she's a cat and then she's petrified. But she does save the day.
Yeah. She's actually not in it for like half the film.
Yeah. Because she's a cat and then she's petrified.
No, I know.
And then, the third one, my absolute favorite. I've watched this on repeat.
It's my favorite as well.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've seen this
first DVD, Harry Potter.
First DVD one I owned. Because I thought I could buy the first one or I could buy the third one, which is the better one.
Third one.
It's the only one I had for about a year. And I was deep in Harry Potter. So you can imagine. Also, that film is kind of, the plot itself repeats anyway. So.
Oh, yeah. It's a time turner, Harry. That's how I've been getting to classes all year. Also, it's the only book/movie that doesn't involve Voldemort.
And I think it's the best one. And that's
probably why it's the best one.
Yeah.
It doesn't rely on that overarching
villain. No, it's like a lot of teen angst. Also,
it's starting to change. I mean, the changes really come in the Goblet of Fire.
Saving the day. It's just, I don't know, it's cool. I love the time turner stuff.
Yeah.
I love.
It's the start of the change from the kid, the kid version of these characters. They're starting to do things a little bit outside.
Yep.
you know,
Hermione the norm. Smacks Malfoy.
That is a great scene.
Oh,
great scene.
Beautiful.
But yeah, they start to kind of just go on their adventures a little bit more from there onwards.
And you get more with like Hagrid and Buckbeak.
Yeah, the other characters get time to develop as well.
Yeah, they kind of really come into their own in the third one where they're like kind of doing a lot. Snape's up to no good. Remus Lupin's a werewolf. Oh, it's just.
It is. It's the coming together of a lot of things in the third one.
They changed studios. Definitely. They went from the Pinewood Studios to Leavesden.
Yeah.
And then they lost Richard Harris. So Richard Harris who played
That's
Dumbledore.
When Michael Gaiman took over.
Yeah, which it kind of becomes a very different Dumbledore.
Which I think is okay. And I've discussed
think this. It serves the story later a lot better.
When he has to do more of the physical things, like in the sixth one, where he has to drink obviously the water and he's screaming, then he has to do the fire thing.
Yeah, that was hectic watching this kid.
I don't think Richard could have probably pulled them off. Not talking about his drinking habits. I just think he's physically not able to do them.
And then I like and I don't like the fourth one because it's fun to watch, but also gets a bit repetitive with the Triwizard Tournament.
I also think they were asked to ham up the fact they've got teen angst a bit too much.
It was pretty heavy in the book, though. Ron's a dickhead.
He is. That's fine. I get it. But,
you know.
Yeah.
And then Hermione comes into her own a little bit where she's like, you know, you guys are my friends, but you're actually kind of like.
I'm not an owl.
You kind of suck sometimes, which, you know.
Which is fine if friends happen.
That poor bitch, man. She did so much for them and she was always like, we're going to save it. And they're like, but you're still kind of annoying. Like, could you just not do your homework? She's like, I'm at school. What the hell else are we doing here?
What else are we supposed to be?
Who's going to teach me at home, Ron? Who's going to teach me at home? That's all I've got.
Yeah, my parents are not wizards.
Yeah, like, this is cool.
Yeah, and then obviously from then on, as I said, like the ending of the Goblet of Fire changes.
He's back, Voldemort's back. My boy.
It changes from like.
Sorry.
Okay, you can keep going.
It's been a while.
It changes into a more adult storyline.
Well, the fifth one's dark.
And
she tortures them when they go, I must not tell lies. And that she's like, we should write that on our hands for fun at school.
I'm sure you did.
Losers. Forgot about all this. And I'm like, that's why I had no friends.
Suppress the trauma.
That's why I had no friends. But I did have Harry Potter and that's all I needed.
Harry Potter was your friend.
Oh, it was. I was also insufferable. Bad things for smart girls, that was. I was like, oh, I could be smart. It's like, you won't have friends. Like, Hermione didn't have friends. No, she did. She did have friends.
She had two.
They were kind of shit sometimes, but she had friends.
She had friends.
So I just became an insufferable know-it-all.
How'd that go?
Oh, not well.
Not well.
I did well in school, mostly.
Yeah, mostly.
But
I did not. Look where we are.
Did it do well for me? I don't know.
We'll see.
Someone else
story
tell
checks
me.
Out.
No, but shit, like, I don't know. It was kind of cool to have a character like that where you're like, oh, I can be smart, but it's like, it does come at a price and we're going to show you what that price is. And you're like, oh, well.
Oh, well. All right. I think we're pretty close to wrapping up on Harry Potter soon.
Yeah. You got the sixth one. I like some of the sixth one.
Yeah.
I like when Ron gets Lavender Brown's potions and Mirrodervane.
Yeah. I did watch that one
as well. Have you ever seen her?
The Lavender Brown character, she played it really well.
She played
actually.
It really
she
well.
She nailed the character. One.
One. Because my lips are chapped. Look, no, I believe you.
Yeah.
There's some good humor in
there
that
is,
film.
Yeah,
and also, like,
it's still
just teen heartbreak.
It's still quite dark.
And Malfoy's like.
Yeah, Malfoy's proper dark. Well,
he's
asked to do something pretty horrific because his family's obviously a Death Eater family. So they're a part of Voldemort's crew. And he's really kind of dealing with the fact that he just wants to be a kid at school. Yeah, he's a Slytherin kid, so he's a bit bratty, but he doesn't want to do what he's asked of him.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to
do it. He's like, I'm 16 and you're asking me to kill an old man. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I don't think
he didn't have it in him.
No, he didn't.
He was but he wasn't.
And that's why Dumbledore was speaking to Snape because they obviously had secret meetings.
Yeah.
And he was like, they knew that's what was asked of Draco. It's like, he's not going to be able to do it. Mm-mm. You're going to be the one who has to do it. Because he already knew he was dying.
Yeah, because
he already knew he was dying
from the
hand.
I'd completely forgot about all that because the Horcrux.
The Horcrux had slowly killed his hand. And he had like, I think, a year. I think he knew about roughly.
He didn't have long and he had to get Harry ready, which oh my God, that's so dark.
It's super dark.
When I was a kid, I'm reading it and I was always younger than them.
Yeah.
So I was like, go save the day and kill Voldemort and sacrifice yourself and like whatever.
Like,
and now I'm like, oh my God, they were children.
Yeah. There's a literal line in the movie where it's like, you've literally raised this boy.
For slaughter. Yeah, McGonagall. Yeah. Oh, yeah. God, she was cool.
She's fantastic. I love when she's before the Battle of Hogwarts. She does all the spells to get the...
Locum something.
Yeah, whatever it is.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, and gets all the guards ready. She's like, I always wanted to do that spell.
Yeah, she's cool.
A great character.
I love when... it's in the fifth one with her and Umbridge, and then she brings Harry Potter and she goes, have a biscuit, Potter. He's like, what? She's like, I hate her too.
Yeah.
Catch on.
It's
Why is it always you three?
Yeah, like, why is it always you three? She's a great character. Great character.
We should probably wrap up. We could talk for hours.
Thank God
I didn't rewatch these. Do you know how much more I'd have to say?
Yeah,
it's better that I don't remember a lot of it.
There's a lot in there.
That's funny, the minute I rewatch them though, I'm like, oh, it's all coming back.
It floods back.
And then I'm
so
like,
quickly.
Why am I watching another 3 hours of this film? Like, I've remembered it now.
I remember every single scene. Well, that's me with Fast and Furious. I do it every now and then. I rewatched 6, 7, 8 because I haven't seen them since the movies. Mm. 1, 2, 3, 4. I've watched countless times. I was like, I could probably just talk about them, no question asked. So it was good to revisit a couple of the ones that I hadn't seen in a while. I really appreciated watching them again.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good to see.
And we're going to forget about the trash that J.K. Rowling has done since and also who she is a person. Thank you.
The Wizarding World movies, like I get they wanted to create another franchise. It just didn't.
It's very weak.
Didn't have the legs that Harry Potter itself has.
She's not a screenwriter, let's say that.
No, she's incredible at books.
She can write books. Sure. She can write the hell out of books.
She can write a book.
But
yeah, I think if she was like, hey, here's a concept I want to do for this new series.
Write the story, not the script.
Give it to someone else who knows how to write for
also,
screen.
Also, let's quickly get it out of the way, but they're making a TV series on Harry Potter.
Well, we spoke about that in our literal first episode.
Yikes.
Way back in the day, last year.
They've talked about casting it. It's like, oh.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
What more are they going to add? I sent you a thing. Did you see the thing I sent you on Instagram? Anyway, whatever. It's like a meme video. But it's about the fact that like in the third one, if you haven't read the books, you don't know that like Crookshanks the cat is like part Kneasel and he's just like hanging out with Sirius.
Yeah,
and he's just like, let's get the rat. Like what? They're just going to put that in the TV series?
I don't know how
series?
They're going to do it.
I don't want that.
It'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see.
Be interesting to see who they hire for this.
Good money.
It's America now. No, it's not UK.
Interesting.
But they're still doing that. The same people that like worked on the films are still doing stuff for the studio tours and stuff. So like, are you taking old props?
I reckon they'll use the same
or are you
quote unquote set as the Hogwarts.
Or
it'll look the same. It won't look different.
It's going to be so weird. It's going to be like an AI video. You know where people like do their little
uncanny valley.
It'll be
like,
so
you're
weird.
Not Harry.
But there's so
how
many-
dare you stood where you stood. You know, like, it's going to be that moment exactly.
It's going to be bad is what it's going to be. These poor kids, whoever they cast.
I feel sorry for them. Yeah, I feel sorry for them. They're going to have a pretty uphill battle.
It's not going to do well.
I don't think there's enough time
in
between.
Because these films still stand up on their own, right? Like they still are incredible to watch.
When did the last one come out? 2010? So it's been 14 years since it's wrapped up. The series itself went for about 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough time that, you know, since.
Also, Harry Potter's now, not necessarily with me, but with other millennials, definitely, way more popular now than it was when we were kids.
I just think because it's accessible on nearly every streaming service,
but,
you know what I mean?
You know, you just think of how much, like, Harry Potter crap you can buy now.
Oh, the pop culture stuff is everywhere.
It's just nuts. Little me didn't stand a chance. I was my friends got a calendar. Oh, I'm going to take your calendar, use those posters, put them up.
Oh yeah,
all over my walls. Or like, oh, I've got to go to Sydney to a convention that my grandma let me go to for Christmas. She paid so we can go get a Harry Potter wand.
That's wild.
Like, bought a tie when I went to bloody Universal Studios Los Angeles because the only thing I didn't have left. And I was like, well, I may as well get a tie.
Do you wear the tie?
Yeah, no, I wore it I did Hermione 1 year for Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Didn't have money.
Yep.
Because I'm a Gryffindor. Suck on that, kids.
I think I'd be Hufflepuff.
Yeah. People think I'd be a Slytherin. And I definitely think I could be, but I don't like weak-willed people. Like, I don't like people that get, like, they'll do anything to get where they want. I'm like, no, stand up and be an upright citizen.
You can ask the hat.
I like weak-willed people. I think that's what would differentiate me from being Slytherin.
I definitely wouldn't be Ravenclaw. I'm not studious enough.
I could be, but I'm not.
I'm not good.
I think I'm definitely,
I'm Hufflepuff. Well, they're fun.
Yeah, my sister's Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
I think. Is she Ravenclaw?
I do like the yellow color, though. Yellow's cool.
I don't remember. I don't know. She likes Newt Scamander or whatever.
Oh, yeah. So she likes... Is it because of the animals in it?
Yeah, it's because she's a zoologist type.
Yeah. Well, she'd be Ravenclaw then, because he's Newt's in Ravenclaw.
Oh, he's a Hufflepuff.
I thought he was. I can't keep up.
I don't care about him. Okay. Someone else write in.
Someone else write in. What is Newt?
Where does he fit in? Maybe she is a Ravenclaw. Maybe I'm just mistaken. Someone I know.
She seems like a Ravenclaw. And on that note.
I think she is. I think she got sad because Grandma made us a Gryffindor scarf and now she's no longer a Gryffindor. Anyway.
Moving on.
This is what it sounded like when I was a child a lot with more British accents.
We could really devolve.
Very wide because I didn't realize that they were regional. So I was just like, I'm just doing a British accent because I've seen Harry Potter.
Oh, the dialects can change from like suburb to suburb in London.
I know that now. I did when I was 8.
Yeah. No. Interesting. All right.
On that note, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for putting up with us and weeks on, weeks off. We'll be back for a couple more episodes.
Yeah, a couple left, about 3.
We've got about 3, we think.
Exciting episodes.
And 2? Is it 2?
2.
I think it's 2. I think we cut one. We're going to make it like more substance, less drivel. But thanks for sticking with us. Thank you to anyone that's new that's been popping up. Love to see you guys are enjoying it. Write in, please. Like actually write in. We want to be able to like
interact
and like give you more or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's with the internet? But anyway, thank you so much. We'll be back in a week and you can find us on Instagram, Twitter and TikTok at BingeList, or you can email us at BingeList and boxofficehits@gmail.com. Have a good week, guys.
Thanks, guys.